are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And that you would be, and I'm Michael Sterling.
You are Michael Sterling, and I'm actually sounding Sterling-esque today.
Yes, you are.
Because I have a bronchial thing going on, which has added a gravitas to my voice that is not normally there. I'm sounding Sterling-esque.
I like it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
If you could
I like
get
the word
stuff
gravitas.
Gravitas?
Yes.
You like that?
Kind of like Gravlox in the Gravlox family.
It's on my word-a-day calendar. I don't really know what it means. I just use it often.
Well, it's fancy pants.
It is. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are joined by two guests today in studio. We have an actor, writer, and musician who took a childhood experience and crafted an amazing solo show out of it. Joining his father on a business trip to Los Angeles, he finds himself with nothing to do and ventures out in search of clowns, goddesses, and tough guys. Please welcome James Schneider.
Hey, James.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Welcome, sir.
Yes. He is. James is actually going to join us later in the hour. But, Michael, tell us who we have waiting so patiently on the line.
I will, Paul. During her gymnastics career, our first guest won numerous international medals, including 8 gold. And in 1998, she was inducted into the International Gymnastics Hall of Fame. When she retired from the sport, she joined ABC Sports for 18 years, providing expert commentary on the sport of gymnastics around the world. During this time, ABC Wide World of Sports named her one of America's most influential women in sports. After 7 years of intense voice and theatrical training, she embarked on a new career in the performing arts. National and regional tour credits include Annie Get Your Gun, Meet Me in St. Louis, South Pacific, Paint Your Wagon, The Unsinkable Molly Brown, Sylvia, and Steel Magnolias. On Broadway, she has starred as the title role in Peter Pan in 1991, and she was nominated for the Tony Award for Best Leading Actress in a Musical. But as they say, you ain't seen nothing yet. And here to talk about her unstoppable career and so much more, please welcome Kathy Rigby.
Kathy Rigby!
Aw, thank you for that lovely introduction. That was really nice.
You know, if only you could have kept busy, you know?
Well, you know, when you retire at such a young age, you got to figure out what else you're going to do with your life. And I wanted children, I wanted a family, but, you know, I also couldn't stop the career going too much, so I decided to take voice lessons and acting classes and studied for 7 years and stepped out on stage in 1981 in Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and was probably the most frightening thing I've ever done in my life besides the Olympics. But I fell in love with theater and the people in it, and it was kind of the taking off point.
You know, Kathy, one of the things about that I enjoy so much about doing this show, and I'm sure Michael agrees with me on this, is that, you know, we get to see the promotional material, we get the biographical information that people have on the show. And the intro that Michael just read, that's like, and I know it sounds trite and cliche, but it literally scratches the surface of what you have done. I mean, it really is astounding, the amount of work, and not even touching the La Mirada thing and all that. It just really is. I mean, where do you find the energy?
Well, you know, I keep books. You know, remember when you used to have something besides an iPhone where you could put all your calendar events in? And
right.
And I look back at that, and I have years and years of that almost read like a diary. And I honestly don't know how we fit so much in, because we also have 4 kids, and, you know, they're all grown up and grandchildren and all that. But I don't know. I don't know how we fit it in, except we did, and we had a blast doing it and are having a ball doing it. And life kind of going by very quickly, and, you know, we're still trying to put as much into it as we can and enjoying it along the way.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful.
Kathy, did you watch the Tony Awards last night?
I did. They were wonderful.
I thought so, too.
I really enjoyed them.
I thought that Neil Patrick Harris once again, you know, did a spectacular job. I loved the bit with Angela Lansbury.
Oh my God! When he hung upside down.
Yes.
And I thought, oh God, that I know exactly how he's feeling and what fun and what a great idea. And then talking about there's not enough time to, you know, acknowledge everybody. It was just brilliant, I thought. And all the winners and all of that was just terrific. And we had a part of the cast of Peter Pan over, so, you know, everybody was cheering, and that makes me want to go see some of the shows I haven't seen, like Once.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So, it's a great night, great fun night, and I think to see somebody who's, you know, much time life and into the community of the Broadway Theater, to see them up there and all their hopes and dreams coming true, and the people that have helped them get where they go. It's a great moment.
Indeed. I must say, though, I was sorry this morning to see the news come across my email from a publication here called The Wrap, which is a very, very cutting edge about the business and right mm-hmm. on top of everything. And last night's numbers on the Tony Awards were the lowest ever in the history of its
You said that on your Facebook page, too. That's disconcerting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they missed a great show then. I mean, I think it was one of the best ones I've seen.
It gleaned a 1.6 rating.
That's too bad.
Yeah. I think 6 million people were watching it last night, so...
Well, what were they? What were the other guys doing?
You know, I don't know, but I'm calling every one of them.
I don't know.
But
no?
Don't you think, we watch TV differently now these days. You know, people will TiVo something and they might
That's
watch
true.
It later. Or you can stream it on your computer. And
That's
I don't know if they can always sort of judge
account for
who's
that,
watching it where.
That's true, because I'm a perfect example. I was coughing because I'm not feeling well. I was coughing my brains out last night, and I was just like, my wife and I are going to watch it tonight. So thanks for ruining the ending, Michael. Thanks loads.
No.
Thanks for telling me who won. But you never know how many. Maybe many, many more were watching, and they were secretly watching.
I hope so.
Closeted Tony watchers. That's
exactly.
What we are. Closeted.
Talking about great Broadway shows, tell the listeners, Kathy, a little bit about Peter Pan and your journey with Peter Pan, and it's at the La Mirada Performing Arts Center right now, which is your theater where you and your husband do your wonderful seasons every year. And what
Thank
a season,
you.
A new season you have coming up is fantastic, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. It's an interesting thing about Peter Pan. It actually gave me my introduction into theater, which was not doing it live, but doing it in a 1974 version that was all pre-recorded. It was almost like a Disney on parade, but it was at that point somebody said, why don't you take some voice lessons and acting classes? And I had never seen Peter Pan before, and it was a fabulous adventure. And then Marty Wiviot, the gentleman who runs the Pantages Theater over there, who gave me my start in theater, and he asked me to come do it in 1986, and I was terrified. It had been, identified obviously with Mary Martin and Sandy Duncan, but there was something about the character. It gave me the opportunity to relive. I had many adventures in my gymnastic career and very, dedicated, but this allowed me to relive a life at childhood and find out all kinds of things, not only about myself, but others and how children are for real and interaction with other people. And it has just been, the evolution has been quite amazing. And I think, as I go into this, truly my last tour of Peter Pan, and with the knowledge that I have and the amount of times I've done it, I think I know more now than I ever had about being a child. I think it is more effortless because you're not acting as a child, you become that child, and it's been an amazing gift. And the more I do it, the more effortless it becomes, and the more fun it becomes as an actor.
You know, Kathy, I'm curious about something because you mentioned when you talked about Dorothy, and then you talked about Peter Pan, and you talked about how nerve-wracking it was for you and being terrified. It always astounds me when people who have had the pressure on them, as you have had when you were very, very young, in the Olympics and with gymnastics. Mm-hmm. Do you find, because I found that as I got older, I became a more nervous performer than I was when I was very, very young. Did you find that to be the case?
Yes. I found that in gymnastics, and I found that not now, but I did go through a period of time where in gymnastics, you know, you get to a level, you're the underdog for a long time, and then you're the one to beat.
Right.
You're the one that everybody measures everything by. And that comes with not only praise, but criticism and critique. And then the same thing happens, you know, when I started in theater, there were no expectations. In fact, I used to get reviews like, wow, she sings really well for a gymnast.
Right, right. Yeah.
And the acting, you know, not bad. Okay, that's good. And I think then when you start establishing yourself and you start playing in the bigger leagues, and then there's an expectation, and so then you start sometimes second guessing yourself and thinking, oh gosh, am I fooling everybody? Can I really do this? And then you get to a point, I think, where, especially when you've done a role where you know it so well,
right.
Or you know you've been on stage enough times where you, just about everything that could happen has happened.
Right,
whether
right.
it's that you're nervous for a song or a scene or you can't quite focus or whatever it is in that moment, you just know that it's going to be okay. And the more you relax, the more you're going to be in the moment. And frankly, what I found different from gymnastics is that in theater, you work with a team of people. It's not some inanimate object that you're jumping on and you're completely responsible for the entire routine and every move that you make is judged. This is about the lighting, the sound, the other actors, the crew, the costumers. Everybody works together. And when something happens, you also rely on those people. And it's and you have an audience that is looking for you to tell them a story. They're not there with a score pad. You know, maybe a few, but
right.
you know. They're there to really have a great night, and they want to be entertained, and that's you know, and I don't know many other jobs where every time you know you sing a song or you say a line or whatever it is, they applaud you, you know. So it's a pretty great business that way.
Yeah, no, and you actually answered my what I was going to ask you as a follow up, because I was curious about just what you said when the performance responsibility is shared over a group of people, that's got to be, you know, it feels a lot more collaborative than being just the center of the spotlight as a solo performer.
It's true. It's, you know, with the Olympics, you have one chance every 4 years on, for example, a 4-inch piece of wood that you're flipping on. And the difference between first and, you know, sixth or seventh or eighth place can be, you know, a tenth of a point. And you know, nerves or no nerves, bad day, good day, it doesn't matter. That's, you know, and you are competing. It's like singing your very note Broadway stage and having every critic there to say whether you're a winner or a loser.
Right, right. Oh, man. Just can't even imagine.
Well, I, for one, Kathy, have seen your performance as Peter, and you and I have met, by the way, several times through my client, Scott Hamilton.
Yes, oh yeah, Scotty, I love Scott. He's the greatest guy. Known him forever.
Indeed. And we actually, not with Scotty, but another client, Ty Babylonia, and her son, we came to the Pantages to see the show.
Yes.
You were kind enough to take us on a private tour backstage and show us all the wonderful set pieces and whatnot. But what I want to say about your performance is that of all the Peter Pans, and believe me, as a kid, I was so attached to the Mary Martin version. And
sure.
then Sandy Duncan, but I must say that you have... there's some action there in the back.
The dog agrees with you, Michael.
Oh, exactly. I'm so sorry. It's like I've got two dogs, and my husband is just driving up, but
no,
I'll ask him to keep them quiet. I also have a cockatoo, but I'll just hold on one.
Oh, don't.
I'm doing a live interview, honey. Sorry.
Don't worry
about that.
That's okay. It's showbiz, huh?
It's okay. Sorry.
That's done.
Okay. Our studio is full of dogs here. Just hang on one second, would you?
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
There we go.
Thank you. But do you have a cockatoo? She can make a lot of noise. I swear they're outside. Okay.
The point I was making by stating what I was stating about your performance is that you make this character the most real of any that I recall having seen it in the various incarnations throughout my lifetime. And I appreciated that so much. It was just, it's riveting. The production is riveting to see you singing as beautifully as you do and acting as beautifully as you act and the flying and the whole thing. It's a very magical experience for
two thank
and a half
you. Hour. Well, you know what? I have to tell you what tickles me the most is that sometimes when I'm, you know, like 4 or 5 times a week, I'll try to get out to the lobby to sign some posters for the kids and stuff. And, the best part of doing this role is that you watch these little boys and you know, these kids and how they act and how spontaneous and direct and funny and not politically correct whatsoever. And it's just, it makes me laugh. And it, and the other great thing is to watch the parents with their kids, you know, as they're going through the line and talking about the experiences that they had growing up. They brought, you know, with Mary Martin, then they brought their kids to see either my show or Sandy's show. And now they're bringing their grandkids, and it's just fun because now you're part of a tradition. And, you know, if it's 2 hours of good memories for some family, you know, or lots of families, it's just a remarkable, magical experience that I wish every, you know, actor had the opportunity to, you know, go out there and see what happens, you know, when you perform skit and it affects a family in a positive way.
Well, let's tell people how they can do that. What they want to do is, this is Peter Pan, and this is playing through Sunday, June 24th at the La Mirada Theater. The tickets can be purchased at the La Mirada Theater's website, which is www.lamiradatheater.com. Theater has the R-E spelling. Or you can call the La Mirada Theater box office at 562-944-9801. That's 562-944-9801 or 714-994-6310. And student, senior, children, and group discounts are available, which is so important these days.
Absolutely.
La Mirada is located at 14900 La Mirada Boulevard in La Mirada. How many times can I say La Mirada?
Oh, I know. Thank you. That was a great plug.
That's the, near the intersection of Rosecrans Avenue where the 91 and 5 freeways meet. And best of all, parking is free.
Yes, and so it's a gorgeous theater.
We try to explain that every night, yes.
And so, there's a special performance of Peter Pan coming up, Kathy, that you're doing for the charity of which you are quite close to, Discovery Arts.
Yes, and Discovery Arts.
You're doing the performance in benefit of them.
Absolutely. It's actually, it was really put together, and I'm so grateful for it, by one of our lost boys, Carly Bracco, and very generous young lady who is not only very talented at what she does, but also we've been trying to raise money for Discovery Arts, which is an organization that goes into hospitals for children with life-threatening illnesses, and they go in and they bring costumes, and they bring new costumes, new paint, you know, face makeup. They bring arts projects, and it is one of the most remarkable experiences. I recently was at the hospital about 2 weeks ago, and was filming, public service announcement for them, and I watched these four or five little kids put on costumes. One of the little girls had gone through 3 days of chemotherapy, had a little crown on her head, had a little superhero costume on, and was singing karaoke, and she was so sick. And it's remarkable that, you know, and I'll tell you another story. We had a little kid who, you know, was in remission at one of our hospitals, and, but every Wednesday night he would call in sick to the hospital. He would have to come to the hospital because he said he wasn't feeling well. Well, we found out later that he so enjoyed Discovery Arts that he would tell the doctor he was sick so he could be there for that hour on that Thursday to you know, be a part of this. And, yes, it isn't finding the cure, but it is, the people that dedicate their time, and a lot of them are in the entertainment field, and they, you know, they bring their creative being, dancing expertise and their artistic abilities, and they give it to the kids that are.
Is she still there?
Kathy, are you still with us?
Oh, that's unusual. I'm going to try calling her again.
I think it's a cellular connection, Paul.
Is it?
I think so. Sounds like it.
Well, let's give it a try. I'm going to end this call, and I'm going to try to call again. So maybe we will reconnect with her. Let's see if she's there. No, but what's Oh, wait.
Are you there?
Are you there?
I'm here, yes. Oh, I thought I lost you for a minute.
Oh, okay, you're back.
We couldn't hear you, so.
No.
Oh.
What we just started.
Anyway, these kids, we get so much out of, but they, you know, they, it, it's that little bit of normalcy in their life where they get to play and not think about their illness, and so it's just, yeah, I love it, and I love that the people from theater and the entertainment world are willing to, you know, make the donation of their time and energy. So it's quite wonderful.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous organization for you to be affiliated with, and a perfect one, actually, to help children like that.
The actual
Peter Pan performance that you're doing in benefit of Discovery Arts is on what date? It's coming up soon, though, isn't it?
It's the 18th.
Well, that's
at Sterling's.
That's my supper club. That's the
The
Neverland Cabaret. Yes. And Monday, June 18th. And that is something, though, different, though. I thought you were doing a dedicated performance of Peter Pan at La Mirada also for Discovery Arts.
Well, we are. We have them coming, and I have to ask, you know what? I'm not sure which date the Discovery Arts people are coming to the theater. It's on my calendar, but it's coming up.
It's soon.
You know what? I'm going to have to look that up on my phone, and
I think if we direct people to your website, they'll see that lovely information.
Yes, I'm sorry. I should have known that. I was thinking Sterling's.
Well, thank you. And we're thrilled to have your company and your cast and the lovely and beautiful, talented Carly Bracco putting this together on June 18th, ladies and gentlemen, at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and we present the best of Broadway performers in concert. And we are doing it with the cast of Peter Pan. And Kathy's going to be in attendance, and this is all in benefit, as we've been discussing here, for Discovery Arts. So you need to call and make your reservations. It is selling quite briskly. And to do that, you call 818-754-8700. Again, Monday, June 18th, up close and personal with the cast of Peter Pan.
And also, we should remind people that it is 6:30 to 7 p.m. dinner seating, and then the show is from 8 to 9 p.m. And attendance is by reservation only, as Michael mentioned.
Yes, indeed.
Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. It's been delightful having you on the air with us. We hope you had as much fun as we did.
Oh, I had a great time, and that benefit for Discovery Arts is June 23rd. Sorry
there
about that.
No, that's great. And so, folks, if you can do both, that's even more fantastic. You'll be helping in twice as much. And also, get down to La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts and see their amazing new season coming up with Jekyll and Hyde, Winter Wonderettes, Boeing, Next to Normal, and the fantastic dance show Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. You don't see it done very often, but it's quite spectacular. And the legendary
Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley MacLaine is coming. I can't wait to see her. Maybe I'm on tour, but I hope I can be here for her as well.
I just think it's inspiring that Shirley MacLaine is going to do Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. That's got to be tough this year.
Well, my husband says he's going to, you know, because of budget cuts in theater, he's going to be all Seven Brides. Yeah. So, but you know,
there you go. It's come to that, has it?
That's his joke at the beginning of the thing. But thanks for mentioning that as well.
Absolutely.
And you know, I also want to mention that at Sterling's, we are going to do a silent auction, which includes somebody getting the opportunity to fly with Peter Pan.
So that
will be quite fun.
Oh, man. Paul, you better get your change out of your pocket.
Oh, yeah.
There.
I'd be all over that. That'd be fun. Just, you know, a complete...
Fantastic.
Yeah, complete all-out panic attack in front of children. That's exactly what I...
No. It'll be great fun. We have had a few people who squeal quite loud, but for the most part, they get a little nervous going up, and then they have a ball.
Oh, I'm sure they do. No, it's just, yeah. It's just, I'm talking about my own phobias, not the experience in itself.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you.
Kathy, have a lovely day. Tell Tom hello, and we'll see you on the 18th up here in Los Angeles.
I will. Thank you for doing this. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
She was a doll.
Terrific.
She was just so great.
Absolutely.
Now, unfortunately, Michael, we have to say goodbye to you because
you're
going before we introduce James Schneider,
James, forgive me for being able to spend more time with you, but fantastic luck on this new project.
Thank you so much.
And your beautiful CD and everything else you're doing, and Paul will guide you through the next 30 minutes, and...
I will. I'll be gentle, Michael. I promise I'll be gentle.
Before I go, I just want to say happy anniversary to you.
Why is that?
Because, wasn't it yesterday? Your wife's, your
anniversary? Oh, no, our anniversary was at the end of May. The picture we just posted.
Oh,
but thank you very much, though.
I see,
yes.
You were at the Bel Air Hotel yesterday,
yes, we were
right?
at the Bel Air, yes.
10 years ago to the day yesterday.
It was the end of May. I don't get to Facebook as quickly as you'd like, Michael. I wish I could post it more frequently.
Well, the caption said, you're posting.
Yes, we were just there, though. We were just there.
But it said 10 years to the day.
No, it's 10 years. It was 10 years May 30th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And when did you post that, today?
Well, I posted it yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, I just saw it today.
Yeah. We didn't go there for celebration. We were just going there. We happened to be there. So
nice.
We didn't go there with that in mind.
Okay. But and a little inset picture back then.
And seeing me with brown hair as opposed to gray hair.
And it lovely it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and
that's
Monica,
the only thing.
Monica hasn't aged at all because I'm aging for both of us. That's what it is. I'm sort of her Dorian Gray. That's what it is.
Well, it was a beautiful photograph, and congratulations.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
22 years together. We've been.
Wow.
Only 10 years
wow.
married, but 22 years together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good
and
Lord.
She still looks 22.
Yes, she does.
She does.
I can attest to that. James, have a lovely time.
Thank you, Michael.
If he gets out of control, just give him a smack.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, James, for being so patient and staying with us. And I will now give you the intro that you are so aptly due. Our next guest has a tale to be filed under It Would Never Happen Today. In 1977, a 12-year-old boy, coping with the recent loss of his mother, found a most unconventional way to entertain himself. That experience has found its way on stage. An updated version of his 1997 hit, Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys, a soul monologue with music, is playing as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival at Theater Asylum Lab through June 24th. Please welcome a man the Chicago Tribune calls a true performer and always interesting musician, actor, Mr. James Schneider.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Let me give you the only other audio intro we have, okay?
Okay.
Mr. James Schneider.
I like that one a lot.
Isn't that great? Okay, so we talked briefly when I saw the thing online about your show.
Yeah.
But I want to kick this off by sharing with the audience this story of how you came across these pictures, because I'll let them know. On the website for James's show, which is jamesschneider.com, he has these photographs of of Hollywood royalty with signatures, and it's just like, oh, okay. He took these pictures, he mocked them up and wrote, oh, dear Jimmy, best of luck, blah, blah, blah. And
no.
I'm like, okay, it's clever, but, you know, why? You know, how does that figure into the show? But it turns out I am completely wrong and that the photos are absolutely genuine. And we're talking about Lucille Ball. We're talking about Groucho, Fred Astaire,
Telly Savalas,
you know,
Ray Bolger,
Jack Haley. So please tell the listeners how you got those pictures in hand.
Well, it's you know, you're right. It is not something that it is filed under Would Not Happen Today. You know, it started actually. My uncle lived next door to a guy, John Kakavas, who wrote the music to Kojak. And all I did back then was watch comedies and cop shows. And he's like, well, Jimmy, do you like Kojak? I'm like, well, of course I do. And the next thing I know, I have an autographed picture from Telly Savalas. It's like, you know, to Jimmy, your buddy, Telly Savalas. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, he's my buddy or
right.
I'm his buddy.
Right.
And I thought, well, that was kind of cool. It felt really nice and all. And we eventually met him. We got to go to his bungalow at Universal and hang out with him. And it was really pretty cool. Then a little time passes. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? Watch TV all day? My dad's just out here working. I'm staying with cousins. And I would see these people driving around, you know, Beverly Hills and such, and they'd have these maps to Starz Home, and they'd go, wow, look who lives there. Oh, and they'd be, you know, pointing at the houses of whomever the star was.
Right.
And they would keep driving, and I'm like, what's with that? I mean, you've got the address. You know who's there. Why don't you just,
get
in there? And being 12 and 13, you know, because it stretched a little bit of a time, but I was like, well, for goodness sake. So, you know, they weren't always there, but, you know, sometimes you could tell they were lying, you know, the butler is lying or something.
Right.
But oftentimes they were there or somebody related to them was there. And, you know, there was so much just true graciousness. I mean, I woke up Carl Reiner, for goodness sake. And he couldn't have been nicer. And this was when I was first trying this stuff. I didn't even know what to do. I just said, hi, I find you absolutely hysterical. I think that's actually what I said to him, and I felt that. You know, he's the creator of the Dick Van Dyke Show, for goodness sake. And huge writer, performer, director, and
Sid Caesar,
all of your show of shows. I didn't even have a pen back then, you know? And so he had to go after I wake him, he opens the door and I ask him for it. I have no pen. He has to go rummaging for a Bic, you know? But then I got a little bit better with it, and then I, you know, came armed with some proper pens and such. And sometimes, you know, I would get to somebody if it was in, like, I went to Fred Astaire's house. Fred Astaire, for goodness sake. And he's late for a plane. He's walking around looking a little frantic. Maybe his limo is late. He's got a suitcase in his hand. And he's kind of, and I just show up. I'm like, hi, you're wonderful, or whatever I said. Could I have your autograph? And he, in the middle of it all, sure, scribbles his, you know, a very friendly, you know, Fred Astaire. I'm like, great, but could I have an autograph picture? You know, what was going on in that kid back then? But, you know, there was that. And to his credit, God bless, he said, come back in a week. And I did.
And you came back and he had an autograph picture for you.
Yes.
See, now, what I'm most curious about, and maybe it's because I'm so flavored by today and how it's a different world that we live in and all that, but you're 12 years old. How are you getting from place to place?
By my legs. You know, I'm not driving, obviously.
So you just, it was one neighborhood.
It's a long one. I mean, they were, my cousins were like in sort of Beverly Hills, sort of like, you know, not too far away from downtown Beverly Hills, but from there to walk basically north or east or west, you know, some of them were pretty close. Glenn Ford, pretty close. Lucille Ball, pretty close. Fred Astaire, Groucho Marx, far.
So like I would like San Ysidro Drive.
Yeah, San Ysidro Drive, exactly, yeah, for yeah. Fred Astaire. And I'm like, I told my cousin who's, you know, 10 years older than I told her later that night, where'd you go? Well, I went to San Ysidro Drive. She's like, you walked there?
That's,
you know. Or for like somebody like at Groucho's, that was like a huge street. It was big. It was Hillcrest, which is actually, you know, north of Sunset, which of course meant nothing to me at the time. I just sort of started walking up and walking up and walking up. And along the way, you know, oh, Maury Amsterdam lives there. Oh, Dinah Shore lives there, you know. And Groucho lives way up there and way up higher. So even more people. It was, you know, but it was by my legs because how else was I going to get along?
Oh, no. I was just curious about, yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's funny that what we talked about with Kathy Rigby earlier, which is, you know, the bravery of children or just the, you know, you don't know what could go wrong. So you're not afraid of it going wrong. It's
exactly.
Just like, this is just, you know, I want to meet them. What do? You go up to the door, you knock on it.
Right. It's just simple gut instinct. And,
yeah.
You know, there was never really any fear about it. And, you know, it's of course during the day and everything and it's everything, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I wonder now in, you know, retrospect, was there like, you know, police or something like off in the distance saying, is this kid okay?
Right.
I saw no shadows though. Nor did I see any trouble. There was nothing creepy ever. If there was ever a situation like only one person really had a sign out there, a whole battery of signs actually saying, under no circumstances should you step on this property.
Okay.
But that was like the extent of it. I mean, you might see a mailbox every once in a while saying, Robert Young does not live here anymore.
Right.
But
yeah.
There was no sort of barriers.
So now, how your experience with Groucho, because I've heard things that he can be a little, he could have been a little bit of a curmudgeon or whatever. Was he pleasant?
Well, the trouble that I found was this. I had actually, my initial thing, this was when I was first starting, you know, after the whole Telly Savalas, I'm like, wow, well, that was pretty easy. All I had to say was, yes, I like Kojak. Well, I was way into the Marx Brothers. Actually, I saw my first Marx Brothers movie like the same, about a month before my mom passed away.
Right.
And, you know, the Marx Brothers are a family. I felt a real sort of affinity towards them. I had my uncle, who's really sort of just an older cousin, turned me on to the Marx Brothers. This was a guy who was very unconventional in his own way, but he was like, you have to check out the Marx Brothers. Okay, so I checked them out. And then once I was, wow, that's really good, he said, well, you've got this telly, you know, how about getting an autograph of Groucho? I'm like, how can I do that? I don't know where he lives. And he's like, you just write a letter and you say it's to Groucho Marx, Hollywood, California, and send it off. And that's actually how I got Groucho's autograph. I mean, I didn't go to his house until later, but I had already had his autograph. And miraculously, you know, the post office is going, oh, yeah, Groucho, you know, we'll just drop it off at his house. They don't know that they don't need Hillcrest back then. It's
right,
just like
right.
They'll get it there, you know.
That's astounding. No, because if I remember correctly, I believe 77 was the year Groucho died, wasn't it?
Yeah, this was the end. And it was actually I went to his house and they wouldn't let me see him.
Right.
I was pretty heartbroken because by now I had already met a number of these folks and I was like, wow, but Groucho was sort of like, you know, he was like the crown jewel of it all. And it was just a sad time. They're like, I'm really sorry, but no, he can't come to the door. That's the only time somebody just was kind of straight with me. Like when I, you know, would go to sometimes I went to one person's house who I went to Lucille Ball's house, and actually I just seen a whole, you know, like this carload of ladies going, you know, squeezing themselves into a Vega. Oh, you know, Lucy, you know, how wonderful, what a great person. And they're like brandishing their autographed pictures. And I'm walking up. This is on Roxbury in Beverly Hills. And I'm like, oh, great, cool. And so like, well, this is obviously the place because I see these ladies. And then I walk up to the door and you see the floor mat and the doormat. And it's got a big B in the Desilu, you know, font
right,
and everything.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay, this must be the place. And her butler or whomever the guy, he answered the door. He said, no, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. There's no one here by that name. I'm like, wait a minute. So really, but at Groucho's, they were straight with me. They couldn't put anything past me, but they were just like, you know what? They just put out the truth. And that's
which is unfortunate, but also having seen, like, because I remember the final, it was a big, the only reason I remember it was 77 was because it was the same year Elvis died.
3-4 days apart.
Really?
And
really?
They lived on the same street.
Really?
Hillcrest.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because if you went to Groucho's, you could see up, further up. There was like these couple of huge domed places, and they looked like the Coliseum. One of them was Danny Thomas, and the other one was Elvis.
Oh, wow. No, and I did not know that. I know that that is why it stuck with me.
Mm.
Because that's probably because it was the same time.
Yeah.
But I also remember seeing Groucho. There's a great Dick Cavett box set
called
Hollywood Legends.
Absolutely.
And Groucho's on that, and you can begin to see sort of the beginning of senility there.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, it's unfortunate as a 12-year-old that you didn't get to experience it, but in a way it might be a little positive in that you have the image of him to take that is not a sick,
To see that, yeah. And, they were protecting him, really, and that was, you know, and in his best interest, which is huge. That was a lot bigger than any, you know, 12-year-old's little quest. But it's true. I think that's true that I did get I still had that very positive thing,
that
image about him.
The autobiography of Harpo Marx is...
Harpo Speaks.
Yes. Did you read it?
Love it.
The best first line of any...
I don't remember that.
The best first line of any autobiography, and it is this. First of all, I can talk.
Yes.
I just hate to interrupt Groucho. I just think it's the great. I believe that's the first
that
line.
That sounds perfect.
But,
that's
James,
a great
thank
book.
You for sharing that story. I want to get to the production that resulted from this experience called Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys. And I can't think of a better way to do that than to begin with a track of the same name. So this is Clowns, James Schneider, with Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys.
Faster, don't look back. The painted lines blur quickly to a stream of sunny waves. Don't look back. The bookcase needs a polish. Welcome back. The jacket sneezes from dust. My spell shelving might just collapse. Questions asked. Stop me now. It's
we're going to have that play us off the air, but that's great.
Thank you.
So
thanks
a lot. This is the Hollywood Fringe Festival. It's your second time doing the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Yes. This is the second year that I'm doing it. It's been going on now 3 years. It's a great group of people putting things together. There's a really good energy going on there. That sounded pretty cliche, but it is true. There's like over 200 productions going on. There are from around the world, and there's a lot of stuff that's just emanating from L.A., and it's like it's real theater. I mean, there's stand-up stuff. There's solo shows. My show is not a stand-up show. It's, you know, monologues and songs, but there's full-fledged things that, you know, they're doing The Crucible. They're doing, you know, all sorts of things that covers the gamut with that. And so my show, Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys, I'm doing it here at the Hollywood Fringe because I thought it would be fun, and that I did this show 15 years ago.
Yeah, I saw
it. Blew the dust off of this one because I thought last year's was a completely different experience, different show that I did. And I thought for this year, you know, I was curious to revisit this material. And it's been kind of an interesting journey because, I mean, the stories are not really changing anything when you're meeting Groucho or not, or et cetera. And the songs are pretty much the same, although I must say, I've done this show with a band and sometimes just me and a keyboard, and this is just it's me and a keyboard now. So it's like imagine Ben Folds meets Joe Jackson meets Randy Newman, if we're lucky, but these are original songs. So I'm doing that there. But the curious thing was, you know, I'm a different person than I was in 1997. The show's a different thing than it was then, and it was kind of a little risky, but kind of fun. We've been exploring it, and you know, I look at the, you know, what did I do then, and how can I make it work for now? And what I found right before previews, I threw out the script.
Really?
I had to. It was crazy, but you know, as Mark Twain says, if you know the truth, there's nothing you need to remember. And so it's just me. I've got, you know, the slides of the people that we're talking about.
Oh, wow.
And then the songs that are interspersed. So it's kind of a curious sort of scripted, non-scripted piece.
Wow, the thing is, it will, as long as people are obsessed with celebrity, and I don't think there's any particular point in time where people have been more obsessed with it.
Right.
It will always be topical. Celebrities will always be topical. But that's fascinating to me that you just feel. Did you feel like too tethered to the script? Did you find that it was you were trying to relive a different time?
I think it was something like that. I was trying to get back to really what's the emotional truth behind it. It's like it's a little boy basically kind of rebuilding his life, you know, this fractured and everything like that, rebuilding himself with all these sort of, you know, these autographed pictures, and then getting to the place where, okay, I don't need those anymore. Though that remains under a part of this, of course. I'm a different person. I'm an adult now. Back in the day, I was like sort of a fledgling adult while doing it. And
right.
That sort of point of view doesn't really work for right now. I mean, now I am a parent, you know. I talk about it's my mother's death for that. But for, you know, now I'm older than my mom ever was. So, you know, it's a completely different shift.
Wow.
I'm the parent and all. So, you know, and it's actually a pretty exhilarating, fun, I say soulful, but I mean, it's... there's a lot of humor. It's not a dirge by any means, but that's sort of that's that questing thing that I think kids do, that I think adults do. And I think it's just finding, connecting to the adult version of quest, you know, that makes it work for now. So I'm doing it at the, as the Theater Asylum Lab.
Let me
lab.
Throw that out there,
sure.
Because I want to ask you about what you just said, but we'll give this again before the end of the hour. This is the Theater Asylum Lab that Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys is being performed at. That is at 6320 Santa Monica Boulevard. It's one block west of Vine. For tickets, call 323-455-4585. That's 323-455-4585. And the websites are hollywoodfringe.org. And David's site, or sorry, not David's site, James, I'm looking at David Rozowski's name is what I'm looking at. David Rozowski, also from Chicago, great guy from Second City. He's
amazing.
Your director.
Indeed.
David is
very
a wonderful,
lucky to be working with Dave.
Wonderful man, very talented man. But James, give your website if you
sure.
would.
Sure, you can go to jamesschneider.com. Don't forget there's two S's with the... both of that. Or you could go to fullfrontalmusic.com. Both will get you to the same place. It will talk about where you were talking about, where the stars, you see the autographs and everything like that. But
right.
Tickets go to hollywoodfringe.org, and there's an opportunity to go find the show there and go from there.
That's great. As I said, we'll say that again. We got about 7 minutes left. But one of the things that I'm so intrigued by, and not to stick on it too much, but the idea of tossing the script and just making it so much more conversational. I would imagine that is so freeing as a performer.
Oh, my, yes.
Because I remember, I told you, I did a solo show for years. And when I had moments that I knew so well that I could tell a truthful story without being concerned about the line or whatever, I would just, I mean, you physically see people lean in. You see that the visceral reaction people have when they know they're just being spoken to, mm-hmm. and that there's no sense of salesmanship or showmanship or anything like that. So I would imagine that the level of intimacy must just transcend when in those times, which is now all of the the interstitial material.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this was kind of a, you know, I guess it was kind of a ballsy move, but I was sort of other ideas weren't working. You know, I was trying it from this angle, trying it from that angle. Dave's throwing me different directions of try, you know, and just really excellent prodding and questions. And then finally, I just, you know, I was like, well, where are the slides? What's the order of that? Help tell the story that way. And it's refashioned, not from what it used to be, but there's some flavors that natural connections of, but really, letting that be the guide and working my way through. And, you know, it's going to probably be a little bit different each night, but it was incredibly freeing. Did the preview on Saturday. I opened on Thursday the 14th, but did the preview, and it was just like I really felt that's what was missing, just talk to, connecting with, and that felt great.
Oh, that it sounds great. And you're right. It is beyond a ballsy move. I mean, the best thing I ever heard the best description I ever heard for a solo show is a solo show is standing on stage naked and turning around slowly. That's a solo show.
Yeah.
One of the things we didn't mention when we mentioned the location is because it is part of a festival, the dates are a little choppy. So let's put that out
there. It's pretty much Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, but it's a little bit quirky, you know, trying to accommodate people's schedules. But I think it's, we open on Thursday the 14th at 7, and then there's Sunday the 17th at 5:30, there's Thursday the 21st at 10, then Saturday the 23rd at 4 p.m., and then the final performance will be the final day of the Fringe Festival. That'll be Sunday the 24th at 5:30 p.m.
And all of these dates, I mean, in case people don't remember all that, they're obviously all there at hollywoodfringe.org. It's hollywoodfringe.org. And also at James's site that he mentioned earlier,
sure.
jamesschneider.com.
Sure, yeah.
But that's just, I really hope to see it. I really do.
It's fun. And, you know, it's I sort of look at this as version 1.0 again, even though it's a polished, you know, performance and all. But I sort of feel like, you know what, this is sort of like first step on that, because it's a story that just kind of won't go away. I put it down for a long time, but I'm like, okay, let's check it out again.
It's so interesting to me. And, you know, we have a lot of people on the show. But to give you an idea how intrigued I am by this, I scrapped our entire arts calendar today. I'm going to have to read it twice, because I just was far more interested in talking to you about
Thank
this.
Thank you. I feel very honored.
So we will have to happily, both of the shows that we were going to represent in our arts calendar aren't closing anytime soon, so we can give them their due next week. So my apologies to the two that I was supposed to read about today, but just got caught up. We have 3.5 minutes left, James, and one of the things we love to do on the show is ask people about an onstage mishap or an accident or something funny that happened during performance. Do you have anything you could relate?
Let me see. I think there's going to be some humor in this. I broke my foot on stage.
You broke your foot on stage?
Yes. It was a wonderful production in Chicago. It was called The Shoemakers, and it was adapted by...
It wasn't called... You didn't break your foot in a show called The Shoemakers.
As a matter of fact,
I did.
So there's the levity. Right,
but what's that Tom Waits line, making feet for children's shoes? Is that
I don't know that. I love Tom Waits though, but I don't know that one off by hand. This one was, you know, it's based on the I.B. Singer story, and Byrne Piven adapted it. He starred in it.
Okay.
His daughter Shira directed it.
Yeah,
and it was a wonderful thing. There's like it's all about family. There's like a tree on stage, and the ground, the floor was actually made of dirt. We had to like rake it every night. It was like an infield.
Oh,
but sometimes if it wasn't always raked, every once in a while it wouldn't get raked. It would be sort of an uneven surface. Right. And so I'm wearing these big sort of shoes anyways, because this is an immigrant story. We're singing a song about, won't it be good to, you know, move off to America or something. After the first verse, I hop down with my sister or brother, whatever, on the stage. I hop down onto the stage, and my foot doesn't quite find a solid piece of infield, if you will. And I basically, it wobbled. I hit the floor. It was like it was beanball or something. I had dirt on my mouth, had to wipe my face up, just a hair, get up in time to, you know, sing the rest of the song with the other people on stage. And then at blackout, I said, "You have to help me off stage. My foot is broken," or something.
Snapped the ankle.
I actually busted the heel. And so they, my people on stage, my two people, family members, helped me off stage. And then they had intermission. They said, is there a doctor in the house? And there's a doctor come by. And we had two shows that night, but I felt I have to do the second show because Burns' son Jeremy was coming to the show for the second show. I'm like, oh, I got to do that. I said, I will gladly do the rest of the second show and even the second show. I mean, the rest of the show plus the second show as long as I don't have to move around. And they're like, that's fine. Just hang out by the tree. So we did that. And then I said, and then please take me to the hospital.
Yes. That's hysterical.
Ridiculous.
That's hysterical. I mean, I know that it's painful. I'm sure it was painful then. But it's just those are the things where you're just like, where do you find adrenaline just takes over.
Yeah.
Adrenaline just takes over. We have to wrap it up, unfortunately, because we are through our time. But once again, the show with James Schneider, it's a soul monologue with music called Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys. It is playing at the Theater Asylum Lab as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival at 6320 Santa Monica Boulevard. Tickets, 323-455-4585. And all the pertinent information is hollywoodfringe.org. And James, just a real pleasure to catch up with you after all these years. So great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Paul.
And we will play you off the air now with the continuing track of Clowns, Goddesses, and Tough Guys, and look forward to chatting with you all next week.
With the candy store assortment, help yourself. Goddesses and tough guys, clowns, goddesses and tough guys, they help me out when I could not find my own personal anything. Never know, never need, no, not em. Never know, never need, no, not em. Never know.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.